Blog Talk Radio.
Man cave, right? What's that, alien music?
I woke up from a memory, still lying here next to you, watching you as you're dreaming. The dreams I thought I knew, your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true, your touch is cold and dear.
Shout Even Shy, singing Words You Cannot Say, song I wrote. Thank you, Shout Even Shy, and she's back in our group. Hooray. Please wish hard enough, wishes can't come true. Right, where's the man cave? Friday night's man cave. I'm Jay Hatter, your host. Along with me is Steven 76, the Andorian, the Travis Walton of the for tonight. How you doing, Steven?
Good. How you doing, Heather?
Okay. Yeah, aliens. Along with us also is, of course, my best friend, my little sister. Since that does all the heavy lifting, so we can sit out here and look pretty. Debbie Lee. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Heather. Hey, Steven.
Okay, you guys got your foil hats on? They can't see you.
Yes. I should find yours and put it on the board. Listen, guys, two things. I'll be back in a few minutes, but I think this might be Allie, and I don't know if she is or isn't on a time crunch. So let me open that up real quick.
Oh, okay.
Allie, is that
you? Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Allie.
I'll be back.
Okay. Allie.
Yeah.
How are you? Have you ever seen a UFO? This guy?
Yes.
Have you really? I have too. Don't know what it was.
I'm doing better. I wouldn't say I'm 100% right now, but I wouldn't say that I'm super bad either, if that makes sense.
Well, we go, it's the ups and downs, huh? Ups and downs.
Yeah.
I'm on my way back up. I was down too. Are you on a time crunch? Did you write something for the show?
I did write something for the show.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get that posted. Can you put that on the group?
Actually, Stephen did it for me.
There it is. There it is. Very good. Okay, anytime you're ready.
Okay. I saw an object fly through the sky one night. It looked a little bit like Tinkerbell soaring through the sky. Later on, come to find out, it was a UFO, but deep down inside, I'm still shocked to call it. UFOs have life possibly, maybe aliens are real. Aliens could be just unidentifiable creatures. I'm a creature too, a silly and happy creature. Well, lately I haven't been too happy, but think about his pack flying across the sky in Disney. Perhaps the UFOs are there, or with her there, having fun. Maybe the aliens ride the rides at night too. Maybe the aliens just need quieter times to ride rides like someone with autism would. So I leave the reader with one question. What would you compare a UFO to? Would it be Tinkerbell? End poem.
Yeah, you know, there's no reason that the first guy that saw him, that designated the flying saucer, where he could have said, it looked like Tinkerbell. That could have been this. That could have been it. Flying Tinkerbell. No reason that it couldn't. What do you think, Kevin? What do you think, Steven?
Oh, I like this a lot. I did read it a little bit before the show. I like the thought of the aliens hanging out at Disney after hours and riding the rides. As I told you in my comment, that they probably do need the quieter times when nobody's around to cut loose, because, you know, if we see them, it'd be like the movie E.T. We just want to do experiments on them, so they got to wait till it's closed, and then they'd have their fun. I thought this was really cute. Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like also the aliens could be unidentifiable. You know, it could be tree stumps. Wasn't that tree stump over there a minute ago? I don't know what they were. Look like.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the size thing, the size is only viable in our brains, what is big, what is small. The aliens could be microscopic. They could be tiny, tiny.
True.
You never know. Really good. Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Did you want to hang on and listen to the show on the phone?
I'll try. I'm still a little upset by an accidental mistake that I made all by myself earlier, but I will try to hang around.
As long as you can, if you like. Yeah, you're welcome. Welcome. We're going to be discussing different events.
Okay, then
I'll hang around. Okay. Can't read my writing again. Oh, well. Let me go to the page.
Well, I mean, you heard me. I wrote my own poem, and I could barely read my own poem tonight, so.
Looking for the page. Hold on. Oh, no. So, still a weather report. How's the weather back in where you are, Steven?
So, it's starting to warm up, but they're actually talking about snow this weekend. So, you know, it's a typical Northeast Ohio spring. Teases us with some 60-degree days, and then brings the snow back again for a little while. But it'll get there. Looking forward to having breakfast on the deck.
It's 80 degrees out here during the day, last couple of days.
It's too hot.
No rain in sight. I know I put this on the front. I put this page on my page. I guess I got to go find it. Yeah, some of the more famous UFO sightings. Of course, Roswell, 1947. We had was it 1960? We had aliens over the Capitol, Washington, D.C., air controllers seen on the radar, and then it disappeared but could be seen flying over the Capitol. Also, we have the Rendlesham Forest in the U.K. That was it was a nuclear base that aliens visited in the forest just outside the base, considered the England's Roswell. Also, have Shag Harbor was another incident, and of course, fire in the sky from Snowflake, Arizona, the Travis Walton story. Yeah, Steve, you want to get us familiar with that that story real quick, so what people might not know? Fire in the sky.
Yeah, that one. Well, because they mainstream that one big time since they made a movie about it, and it was a great movie. But yeah, they were loggers out in the woods trying to make their quota, and so they were staying out extra late, and on the way home they saw that weird light up in the sky, and Travis the idiot got into the truck and went underneath it. Okay. Next thing you know, he got stepped into it. And
why did you get out of the truck?
Yeah, you don't get out of the truck. That's just, I don't know. Just like when you hear a funny growling noise down at the basement, you don't go in the basement either.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess he was that kind of guy. He was known to do stunts like that. Go up and try to catch it. My Lord. Yeah, then the beam of light hits him, freaks everybody out. It actually ruined Travis's life and the head of the crew. I can't remember his name. They were best friends.
Yeah.
Also. They didn't. They get any money for
nobody
it.
Nobody believed
just,
them. They thought they were putting up a big hoax.
You cut out. Say that again.
Well, they thought it was a hoax, so they kind of, their reputations were all sullied from it all happening because, personally, I don't have to believe it.
Well, Travis was missing, so they charged him with murder. They tried to charge him with murder since Travis was missing for days.
Yeah.
But they all passed. They all passed the lie detector test except one guy who was. They didn't know one way or another. He had a legal past, a criminal record of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one that didn't pass, but he didn't fail. He just it was undetermined. The testing. What a position to be put in. Your buddies. You go in and report that your buddies, you know what had happened. This saucer hit him with a light. We took off. We got back. He was gone.
Yeah.
Why in the hell would you go report that if you did it? I mean.
True. Yeah.
Those guys went through hell. Those guys went through hell. That sheriff and the media just basically lit into him. It wasn't good. Then Travis shows up. How many days later?
Oh, God, I don't remember. How many days was it?
I think it's five.
You're making me want to watch the movie now.
Yeah, I thought it was 5 days. His buddy gets a call from Travis at a payphone along the highway. They went and find it during the rainstorm, and they found him naked near the payphone on the deck or whatever the porch thing. He was messed up. Didn't know what had happened. I don't know how long it came before it came clear what what he remembered. But yeah, he's still alive, Travis Walton, and yeah. Hopefully, he can go to the Comic Con. Say that again, Steve.
You're right. It's 5 days.
5 days. Yeah, they didn't know what happened to him. Explain that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, showed that what happened to him wasn't that great.
So basically, the lesson learned is if you hear a weird noise or you see something odd, you don't go and investigate it, is what I'm hearing.
No, you don't. I surely wouldn't. I mean, I'd take pictures and run.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys take off, and then they feel guilty that they left him, so they went back, and he was gone.
Yeah. I put the GIF on the board of the movie.
You break it up,
DB
Steve.
Sweeney.
You break it up, Steve, and repeat it. Say what?
I put a GIF on the board of DB Sweeney as Travis Walton.
Oh, yeah.
Getting hit by
Sweeney.
The beam of light.
Yeah, it was a good, the actors did well. It did really good, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. And then the incident in 1960, I believe, over the Capitol. That was something that alerted. I mean, they went full DEFCON 5 or whatever. Battle of Los Angeles was 1948, I think, and. It was 48. Now, it's got to be sooner than that. They were ready during the war. It was right after Pearl Harbor, so it would have been 41, right?
Yeah.
That traffic controllers had an incoming airplane or aircraft they couldn't identify. And it blinked off as it approached the California coast, right? It sounded at Los Angeles. And they were ready for an invasion from Japan on California coast. The hills along northern California is filled with pillboxes, and that would have been the defense from Japan. But yeah, the thing blinked off. Also, came and flew over LA, and all the lights went on. And I think some anti-aircraft was actually fired. It's like there was nothing there.
Wow.
Let's see. One of the most, and these are the ones I've listed in the top five are the ones that are most credible for the evidence given. Like in Belgium in 1989, I believe, over 500 people saw these disc things in formation. Many of them in the sky for quite a long time. They didn't know what they were. And I don't think they were Chinese candles or lanterns. But let's see. The other one, Shag Harbor, first aircraft to see go underwater in the harbor to suggest that they aliens had bases underwater in the oceans. What a trip that is. Would be probably communicating with the octopuses.
Yeah, have to be pretty deep.
Well, they say you know how the theory of us life on Earth started from a comet or something from out of our solar system hitting and starting life from microorganism. It's and through the years suggestion theory is that it could have happened twice, because the cephalopods, I think that's what they're called. They're the squid, the octopus, because they're very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
They could be alien life form with these translucent colors they can form. So they say if any other living thing on the Earth was alien, it would be the cephalopods. I think that's how you say it.
I think so. I think you got it right.
Yeah. Hey, ta-da. But, yeah, we should study more of our oceans. We don't know what's out there. Hell, we're still finding stuff.
Yeah. It's true. There's a lot of stuff we don't know about.
Yeah, in Rendlesham Forest, the United Kingdom's Roswell, at a military base that was actually nuclear, which is, you go fly in or near that base, you are going to be approached very quickly, which two Americans they were security outside the base one night saw lights in this forest just outside the base. They went to investigate, and they saw these lights coming towards them. There's no video, but there's audio, radio traffic. I think the radar did pick them up also. So they're full scramble.
That's cool.
That's a nuclear base. You're talking full alert. And then I guess that happened a night after, so I think two nights later, the lights appeared again. But there was evidence that they did land. The people that actually saw it on the ground and described it, this silver disc just sort of hummed.
Floating. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a life-changing event. You go reporting that, you're now on the list of, on the list of people that have seen. So,
I had a friend.
Go ahead.
I had a friend who was out walking in the little hours of the morning once, and he told us all about that he saw these three lights in the sky kind of flew together and formed a triangle and hung there for a little bit, and then all took off in opposite directions again.
Hmm.
Swamp gas.
We were driving one day in town, and my parents were, and we stopped at an intersection, and this is actually how my poem came. There was a super bright light that just went zooming straight up, straight down from the sky, and then went straight back up in a matter of seconds.
Wow. Yeah, the speed that these things can exhibit is just, that's what makes it not from this earth. We go that fast and stop 90 degrees. I always said, I had the answer to beating or how the aliens were using our atmosphere to do this, what they do. Now, if you think about it, what every motion through our atmosphere causes heat. If it's moving, it actually causes heat in some form, except one.
Mm.
A bubble rising through the water, I don't believe, causes any kind of heat. So you would need an electromagnetic system around a craft with an inert gas inside, and it'd be able to ignite that to a point of not ignition, but to create its own physics, its own ability to be anti-gravity in our
gravity bubble.
I've been saying that for years. Yeah, now they're saying this is the way they do it. Well, I'm sure they got a bubble around them. I said that. I've been saying that for 25 years. I had the answer, man. They told me. They told me how they did it.
I talked to you about it once before, Hatter, and I'll just mention it since we're talking about the UFOs, as they called it on the movie Real Men. We were going to drop some stuff off at my son's house, and he lives way out in the country and in the woods, where there's not a lot of light at all. It's a very dark area. And as I got under the one, there's only a couple turns to get to the road that he's on looking here. But as I was on the one road, I noticed this light out in the woods, and it looked like a light that a big town would give off. It was that bright, but it was in the middle of the woods. And I'm thinking, there should not be any light there. And as I'm driving, and I keep watching it, I keep my eyes on it, and it's staying in the same spot, like there's a Like there's a town there that was never there before, but it's there now. And we got to my son's, and you couldn't see it from where my son lives because there's some hills in that area too. But then when it was time to come back home from there, it was gone. It was completely darkened.
Wow.
So I don't know what the heck I was looking at. Something might have landed there and was gone before, you know, I started to fall.
Too bright for a flashlight, right? I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah, no, it was like when you're on the freeway in the middle of the night and you're coming up on a town, you could see the light in the distance of the town. That's the kind of light it was giving off. Like a whole town is there.
That's odd.
Yeah, it was freaking me out.
Freaking you out.
Mine
was,
me out too.
I was, I've actually had two. One was in the sage country of Idaho, very flat land. You could actually see storms coming from Oregon over the Snake River. It'd take 2 days to get to you, but you could tell, you could see a storm coming. That's how flat
awesome.
And desolate the area was. I'm out there at dusk, and I'm walking the cornfields at the end of the day, and I look over to the west, and I see this gray thing sort of go over the barn roof, and they disappeared into the pasture where the dairy cows were, and then rise back up to my right vision, and then disappeared around a tree.
Hmm.
And this thing looked solid. It looked like it was silent. My cousin said, "Those are starlings. Those the murmurations. You know how they can look like that, making different forms in the sky. The starlings and blackbirds." So the other one I had was late at night. I'm late in my yard. We've been drinking all night. We're just laying in the grass, in the long grass, my front yard. And this light comes buzzing over us, and then freaking takes like almost a 90 degree turn, and it heads north. No sound at all. And I sit there, and my buddy Brian, he's laying there next to me. I go, "Brian, did you see that?" And he goes, "Well, I think I'm giving that light." And he goes, "Yeah." And he goes, I was open. I just opened my eyes to see it leaving. You know, it took off. He goes, "Well, it must have been a satellite." I go, "Brian, that satellite don't move that fast, man." He actually called a radio station. You go, "Hey, man, anybody else see this in the sky?" They actually asked that they go, "You guys are messed up." I go, "Well, yeah, we have been drinking, but we know what we saw." Call a radio station. What an idiot I am. But, yeah, you get... Some of these people is what is the there's a association or so, a group of people that the MUFONs, they're the ones that physically go after and try to find evidence of when there is a UFO sightings, especially if it's is it the second or the third kind, the second kind. Where that is evidence, or is that the third? Third is the evidence, or the fourth is contact. Okay. So it's the third kind,
yeah.
Where there's evidence left. Yeah, I think it's MUFONs. These guys are serious UFO hunters, man. It could change your life.
Yeah.
I did one time in 1972 on my aunt and uncle's farm. It was a good hour before dusk, and this light comes screeching over from south to north, and I could hear it crackle. It was a meteorite. It was burning up in the, you know, the atmosphere, and I could hear it crackle and burn, and it disappeared over the horizon, with nobody around. My aunt and uncle wasn't there. Nobody would say, "Did you see that?" But I actually heard it. I know it was a meteorite. I could hear it burning up. That was sort of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Get your hats on. Maybe they didn't get me. Oh no.
Take your hat away.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Can I play? Can you play with a button?
Damn, I wish they wouldn't do that. Yeah, Roswell. Did you watch the series Roswell? Those kids were spooky. Those are the kids.
Yeah, I never did watch that. I wanted to, but for some reason I never did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just know the one thing that is a indisputable fact is the fact that after Roswell, the government kept saying it wasn't, you know, nothing happened, there was nothing there. Our technology has jumped in leaps and bounds and gotten so much more advanced since then, so quickly that it's, you know, we're borrowing the technology from something we found.
Yeah, hence the Bob Lazar story. Bob Lazar was the gentleman that came clean to the press of that he worked at Area 51 and actually saw a UFO disc. His job was to try to reverse engineer the technology from these aircrafts. He said he had seen, he was walking by one aircraft that had a little American flag on it, and as he walked by, he reached out and touched it and got reprimanded that, you know, severely for, he was told to keep his hands to his, you know, at his sides. He looked straight ahead. He also witnessed, now he was, this at Area 51, he was flown in from Las Vegas. Well, let's get before I jump ahead. Bob Lazar was his first job was at Los Alamos Jet Propulsion Center in California. He had gone to, I think, MIT. Very smart guy. He was asked to part of a group of people to go in and reverse engineer some of the technology that they had and couldn't explain. He was actually. Was taken from Area 51 to another area, like eight miles away or something. That's where him and his partner were giving parts or technology. You know, figure this what this does, that kind of thing. He also was told about this Element 151. Now we didn't have an Element 151. At that time, but what it was is his partner says try to touch this part, and he said it was a magnetic push away. He couldn't touch it. He couldn't get close to it. This was a he said this was probably how they were not affected or could defeat the laws of gravity in our atmosphere, be able to move around like they do. He when he left, he grabbed some of it, I guess. And now it's on our electronic, the element table. It's an element that they reproduced and it appeared for 20 milliseconds or something like that, and then disappeared. But they're able to produce it and in very very small. You know, very amounts. But because of now, you know, it's on the charts since 1982, I think, he's Los Alamos. And when Bob Lazar, he went public, he wanted to be anonymous, and he wanted to be known as Dennis, you know. He came on in a mask and answered these questions, what he was doing, what the American public was doing. And he thought, you know, this technology should be shared to the people of the world. The military shouldn't keep it for, you know, military only, you know, military only. Which comes back to what you're saying. You know, what technology do we have? I think the miniaturization, how small they could make things, how, you know, the phones we use now is like the technology is more than the capsule of the you know, Apollo 13, or whatever it was. But, yeah, I think the miniaturization, maybe the fiber optics. It could be Velcro. Mm-hmm. What kind of technology can you see that they have learned through Alien? Steven?
Yeah.
What kind of technology that we've had? You mentioned, you know, some of the breakthroughs and how fast technology's gone.
The way I see it is, you know, we were learning it slowly, obviously, and trying to figure it out, and it took a while. But I mean, you go with the just music, 8 tracks, to vinyl, to cassettes, to CDs, and now it's just these little MP3 files that can hold a whole song with so little memory now. It's just amazing how much, I mean, this tablet that's in my hand has more memory in it than the first desktop computer I had when Kay and I first got married.
Yeah.
It's just the way things have changed with that.
Yeah, and when we built the first computer, it was a freaking, took a block. It was absolutely huge.
It didn't have hardly any memory at all.
Say that again. It broke up.
I said it hardly had any memory at all compared to what we have now.
Yeah. Now, one other thing: the frequency of sightings, is that because we're all carrying cameras actually with our phones? Or is it actually increasing the sightings? Or is it just that we were able to take pictures of it? If you saw something and wasn't able to take a picture of it, it's mentioned once and then forgotten. You know, I don't know, she's crazy, but, you know.
Yeah. How about these cards that almost drive themselves now? That they'll stop for you if you're not seeing something in your way. My mother's car, if she lets go of the steering wheel and it starts to drift out of the lane, the damn car actually steers back into the lane by itself. You know, this is stuff that was unheard of. Pretty soon we'll be able to just tell the car, take me to work, and then take a nap on the way.
I think there's actually videos of that. Yeah, they want to refabricate the way we ship things, or the trucks. The trucks will be have their own lanes. They'll drive with us. Good luck with that. I can see that going wrong big time. But you know, they say if we would have followed Tesla and Edison and Westinghouse didn't get the government contracts, and Tesla did, we would have been in flying cars by now. Electricity would be free.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And that's another thing, how the technology, if you were to create an anti-gravity machine, the government would come in and they would force you to give up the patent, and they would sit on the patent and nobody else could manufacture that. So technology just sort of dies. And I think that's happened before, several times. They can't figure out how to do it, so they're going to buy the patent, force you to buy the patent. Maybe even you disappear, so they have it. Don't do anything because you know we should be we should have been off of oil, petrol for fuel for gasoline for our cars. We should have been off of that years ago. We could have been. You can't tell me the electric the if you carburet it right, we could run cars on water, on salt water.
True.
And just don't do it because there's so much money in automobiles. So much money in oil. I can't believe if you take a look at the rush hour in every metropolis in the country, every city, every day, the migration into town or to go to work and out, those cars using the gas, and it's it's almost $6 a gallon out here in California now. Think of that money. That money, that number is absolutely phenomenal. It's huge. The government's getting most of it. I'm taking it, but it's just. I think we've reached that technology, and greed stopped us. Now there's countries in this world that are actually building mountains indoors to ski in the desert. Now, that should be us. We can't even keep our roads, keep potholes off our roads. It's being that we're supposed to be lead in technology. I'm sure our military does. They say the military is always 15 years, at least 15 years ahead of what we know, what we have. I mean, 15 years. Think about 15 years ago. Internet was still, starting. The phone.
Yeah.
Look at the phones, the RAM they put in there, and the technology, the miniaturization, the last 15 years. Well, whatever's ahead, they say the military already has that technology 15 years in advance. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah, you had me thinking of the show that I've been that I'm almost done with. I'm actually depressed that I'm almost done watching the whole series. But The Big Bang Theory, at one point they made this gyroscope that would help with some sort of GPS or something. And the government found out about it, so they wanted them to make it for them. And they offered them a lot of money, so they figured, oh, let's do this. And then the one day they went in there the day after they completed it, they went into the lab and everything was gone. And, the government had just taken it on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what Bob Lazar said, that a lot of times they were always working in twos or very small groups, and they were given just a part of something, he was told that this what was handed to him to try to reassemble was from the galaxy Reticuli. What's one of the closest solar systems? There's two words. Seto Reticuli or something like that. And he's going, well, okay, how do you know that? He didn't ask that. He says there's a lot of misinformation that they give these guys as much as real, true information. So they could never piece together what they're really doing at any time. But he said it was twice that he had seen the disc itself. He said it was inside the one he was able to go. He said it was very cramped. He get in nothing. It looked like everything was just smooth, like if you were to melt plastic. And everything was just smooth, and there was no room to do anything in it. I mean, for a human our size. So he said he and his partner had been replaced because there was a terrible accident of people. Some of the techs were killed. He said they were trying to take a plasma cutter and cut through the actual unit that emanated the power source, which was, of course, was the nuclear. They tried to cut into it or somehow and messing with it. He goes, they shouldn't be messing with stuff like that. They didn't know what was going to happen. So that's basically part of why he came clean. Now, he's never made a dollar out of it. His story has never changed. The military went back. They eliminated his name from MIT and any other institutions that he had went to school at. Also at the Los Alamos Propulsion Center, they wiped him as never being an employee, when in fact the next general had been taken by Bob Lazar in, and everybody knew him, and he was able to pass through security because they knew who he was. They did eventually find a check stub from the U.S. Naval Department, which denied that he ever worked for the government. So there was a lot of calling him crazy. I called into the radio show of Las Vegas. What's the guy's name? I'll think of it in a minute. He's famous about the UFOs and any unexplained. He's out of Las Vegas. He saw something, and he was a disc jockey, and he changed his life. He's now, that's all he's done is trying to investigate reports of UFO sightings. I wish I could remember his name. Anyway, I called into his show, and there was a guy named Gerald Friedman there. And I know I recognize who he was from the he's a physicist theorist or something. He looks like it, too. I called in, and I said was, what do you think of Bob Lazar's reports? And he said, he's crazy. The dude's crazy. And wouldn't say another word about it. And then all these years later, find out Bob Lazar, everything that he said actually has come true, and the military has admitted that, yes, indeed, he did work in areas 51.
Was it
Art
Bell?
This is a guy. This is a guy when he worked at Los Alamos that put a jet on his Honda. He said, yeah, I said, I fired it up every day, went to work. So he made the front page of the Los Alamos newspaper. They found a copy of that when they were saying, he never worked there. Well, there he was on the front page of one of their periodical or their magazines or papers they had put out. But at one point, he was fearing for his life. They could have long walk in the desert. He feared for his life. I don't know how his anonymity got taken away. I can't remember, because he wanted to be anonymous. He just wanted to tell the American people, this is going on. You need to do something, because they don't know what they're doing. His family is feared for his family. Also, a lot of things. If you have it, the Bob Lazar story is quite incredible. I would invite anybody to go online, go to YouTube, just put Bob Lazar. You'll get a lot of different ones, videos to see. Just look at the time, how long they are. I'll give you the lesser ones will give you just a flavor of who he is, and the other ones are pretty much documenting everything he's done since the 80s. His story has not changed a bit. The guy seems very smart. Very smart. They erase your past. I think you're pretty much screwed. I don't know what he did to survive.
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, Hatter, because I looked it up real quick. Was the DJ's name Art Bell?
Art Bell, yep, Art Bell. Yeah. I called in. I used to listen to a show. It's late at night. They would call in and events that they've witnessed or if they were part of the Area 51 sightings. That was a big deal. The planes that come out of McCarran Air Force Base out of Las Vegas are unmarked. There's no tail numbers. They fly every day. They fly into Groom Lake, get them back. he says at any given time you could be there for a week or 2 weeks, and then, you know, take a 2 weeks off. So your time schedule, you never knew what was going to happen. And he said this was exciting for him. He saw the disc. He was very excited just to be there. So what he did is basically just watch and learn and try to keep, because he knew the misinformation was being thrown at him quite heavily, and he suggests that he did come up with some possible ideas of how this technology worked, and then on the documentary's videos, it explains what that technology is, because I cannot remember. I think it was the propulsion. It does explain the bubble. He should have come to me 25 years ago, 30 years ago. I don't know. If you were him and you saw and heard what these guys were doing, and it was all for defense, it was for weapons, what would you do? You know, like Snowden.
Right, yeah.
Could you be that guy?
Right, yeah. I couldn't. I couldn't be the guy that started it, actually. But I don't know. It's a tough one. Because, I mean, like you said, you know, fearing for your life, fearing as to what the government's going to do to you, it can get pretty dicey.
Yeah, he was told once you and your family, he said when my family was mentioned, I knew that they were tapping my phone. And he said, I don't have anything to hide, you know. But little did he know that one Men in Black type guy has come up to him and go, you know, it's a big desert. They could be picking your bones out of the desert one day. And he says, when that was said to me, it said chills were all over my spine. I might have got in a little too deep. They know who I am. They know where I live. They know my family. They know, you know, it wouldn't be hard for them to grab them. So like I said, I don't know where he worked or what he did from the time that he was basically ousted as a human being on this earth, because they erased all records of him. That in itself should show that this guy's for real. If somebody tries to erase it at the schools, and the guy's smart. You can tell. He's a genius type of guy. He knows all about the McCarran planes. He knew everything about the people that were there. He knew his partner's name. He saw some tests outside. You know, some of the flights. Unexplainable movement in the sky. I don't know if I could be that guy either.
Yeah.
You know, it's basically just shut your mouth and don't say anything. Don't repeat anything. You sign a disclosure contract that you won't say anything. But I think he was smart. He must have been smart enough to know. Somebody has to do this. So we'll give Bob Lazar a pat on the back. There you go. Just like that.
5 minutes, Hatter.
Oh, I'm sorry. 5 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Ah.
Yeah.
I forgot to give the phone number in case anybody wanted to call in. 5 minutes. And then we're done? Wow. Well, this is a UFO. There's a video I cannot find anymore. They have the living. It's a video of Area 51 where they have an actual living alien. They called him Bob. They have really rough video of him because of it was in the 40s. From Roswell, and this guy Bob, he's walking right along with these guys. I mean, the movement's there. He looks up. Actually, he's completely alien. I can't find that video anymore. It's not on the internet anymore. Bob the Aliens. So, well, I want to thank Steven. Thank you for the alien visit. Deborah Lee, always a pleasure. Howie, thanks for hanging with us.
You're welcome.
And we'll be looking for Tinkerbells from now on. It'll be Tinkerbells of the Sky.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think of our music. What we have that we don't have Rocket Man or I don't think we have any of anything. So anyway, I'm Jay Hatter. Thank you for listening to our rant of aliens. We'll be doing this again this the last Friday of every month. Man Cave with Steven 76, myself, Jay Hatter, Deborah Lee, and call in, be a part of it. And one less than a minute. I got it.
Yeah.
Play anything. Are you looking for music? I can't think of anything. How about My Monsters Are Real?
There you go. That's a good one.
My Monsters Are Real by Shinedown. Group formed 2001 from Florida. Alex Smith, the lead singer. Got a great sound. And Deborah's probably looking for it.
Or no, Deborah's ready. Finish educating.
All right, anytime you're ready. Thank you, guys. We'll do this again in a month. Tomorrow night, it'll be the new Tic Tac Poe contest with AP Taylor and Deborah Lee on Saturday, 11 o'clock Eastern. Hope you're there.
Steven, you want to say what's going on over there?
Tomorrow night at Poetic Slice of Life, it's Storyboards with Sky, Dark Home, special edition steampunk Disney. You have to message Sky for a prompt and then take it where it takes you. 8 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, that's
steampunk.
All right.
There you go.
Talk soon, Allie Butterfly. Love and respect, everyone.
Right.
Good
to see you. You fooled everybody. Good to see you. You fooled everyone. Good to see you. Now you're somebody. Good to see you. You fooled everyone. Leave your weapon on the table. Rock in the light. Don't get angry, don't discourage.
That's Side Down. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Hatter. Love and respect, everyone. Night.
Night.